Throughout the Bible, we find mention of vessels being used in everyday life for holding food and water. And you also can read about many different vessels that were used on a daily basis in the temple and for things relating to the temple. In fact, you find that God commanded Moses in the pattern of creating things for the temple, as there were, as he said, copies of things found in heaven. So vessels are important to God. If you will, let's look at Romans 9, and we'll begin in verse 14. Romans 9 and starting at verse 14, we'll read to verse 23. It says, "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, 'I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.' So then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, 'For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth.'" Verse 18, "Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. You will say to me then, 'Why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will?' But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?' Does not the potter have power over the clay, from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory?" We read here that we are formed as vessels of clay. We are formed in God's image. We read that we are to be containing and filling up on God's power, because man is a vessel of God. You know, Christ, when he was here on this earth, repeated time and again the fact that he was not here to do his own will, but he was here to do whatever the Father commanded him. Whatever the Father's will was for him, that is what Christ did. So God wants us to be filling up our vessels with his Holy Spirit, so that we can more accurately come to do his will for us. We're told to be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. This will not happen unless we're growing and filling up on God's Holy Spirit. You know, people, more so now than any other point in history, are enjoying material things. But after the enjoyment of the passing pleasures of this world, what is there? There's nothing. It's an emptiness and a vacuum. Nothing in this world can truly fill up man. It's something that they continually try to do over and over again, but to what point? Now, Solomon realized this in his writings in the book of Ecclesiastes. Each time he came back to the point that living is something that we all do. That's just what happens. You're born by no choice of your own. You have to live. You have to continue to grow. But his end point was that while we each are in this realm, we have to come to fear God. We have to come to realize that it's actually his laws and his guidance in our life that actually fills us up, that actually means something for us. If you will, let's look at Isaiah 52 and verse 11. Isaiah 52 and verse 11 says, "Depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her and be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord." God is asking us, commanding us, hoping that we will, come out of this world. Because we are to be the vessels of the Lord. You and I. We each are the vessels of God. We are to be clean, to become purified. But this takes constant action on our part. What we allow into our minds, what we allow our minds to dwell upon, what we allow our eyes to look at, what we allow our mouths to say, it really does have an effect on us. Those effects aren't always seen immediately. It takes time. But eventually, it builds your character one way or the other. If you will, let's look at Psalm 101, verses 2 and 3. Psalm 101 and verses 2 and 3. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. David here proclaims that he doesn't want to set wicked things before his eyes for fear that it might entice him. Instead, he says he wants to stay pure, uncorrupted. He wants to be pure for the sake of maintaining his relationship with God. He asks, "When will you come to me? When will you give me your guidance?" He says that even in the privacy of his own home, when no one else is around, he still wants to have a clean heart so that he can maintain his relationship with God. So when you think about vessels, brethren, they usually hold, as I said before, types of food or liquid. And in our case, we too hold food and liquid, which we enjoy. But in a spiritual sense, we also hold the human spirit, the spirit in man. And once we become properly baptized, as was mentioned this morning, we come to have the Holy Spirit of God. But therein lies the problem. We cannot be filled as vessels with our own things. We must empty ourselves of who we are and learn to take on God's will for us. Let's look at Philippians 2 and verses 5 to 8. Philippians 2 and verses, starting in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Obedience. That is how we come to be more and more like God, to have God's Spirit living within us more and more. But if we refuse to obey and are self-seeking, why would God want to dwell with us? Why would he want to pour his Holy Spirit into us. If you read John 14, 15 to 26, I won't read it now, you come away with a deeper understanding of the interplay of keeping the commandments, the love for God, and the presence that God will bring into your life because of the obedience which is shown. If you will, though, let's turn over to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20 to 21. Second Timothy 2 and verse 20. It says, "But in the house, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." You know, many different types of vessels are mentioned here. But the fact is that there are some that will not be of as much worth as another type. Some will overcome and change and will become better types of vessels. Maybe larger vessels, able to hold more. But anyway, the point is that each of us should be working towards honor, sanctification, being prepared to do every good work that God has prepared for us, being useful to God. We each have the opportunity to grow and to be useful to God as He sees fit. It's not for the purpose of self-glorification or what we can get for ourselves. It's to serve God as He purposes. But the flip side to this is actually quite frightening. Mr. Michael Link read the scripture yesterday. I also had it in my notes, so I'll just read it for you. It's Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23, and it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice iniquity or lawlessness.'" This is not what we want to hear from Christ. No, it mentions extraordinary things that these people did. They thought it was enough. But it wasn't enough. And Christ had to let them know that. Luke 21, verses 34 and 35 has this warning that is in conjunction with the one we just read in Matthew. Luke 21, 34. "But take heed to yourself, and let your hearts be weighed down, or lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to you pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Brethren, that is our charter as Christians and as vessels of God. I also wanted to leave you with one last thought. In 2 Kings 4, verses 1 to 7, you find the story of Elisha and the widow's oil. In this story, the widow has two sons, and she's in deep debt. So much so that the creditor is coming to take her sons as slaves. So she prays to Elisha, or doesn't pray to him, excuse me. She says to Elisha, "Man of God, help me." And Elisha says, "Well, what do you have?" She says, "I have a jar of oil in the house." And he said, "Go to each one of your friends and gather as many jars and vessels as you can." So she did. She came back, and he told her to pour oil into every container that she had procured. She ended up with so much oil, she not only paid her debt, she had enough money to live for the rest of her life. This story shows God's care and concern for us. If we're living righteously, seeking to obey God, there will be nothing impossible for God to bring about in our lives. You know, so many times we see stories like this sprinkled throughout the Bible. And it's there for our hope. For us when we're down, when we're at our wits' end. We can't stop in doing what is right. Because if we do, then God won't take care of us. But it's a promise for him. And we heard about promises in the sermon this morning. He says, "If you do what is commanded, what I command you, I will take care of you." And so now we have a command from God to give him a free will offering. It's something that we are commanded to do on the holy days, those days which God has set apart as part of his plan. So, brethren, let us seek to diligently be filled with God's Spirit so that we can become vessels of great use in our Father's house.